This is a duplicating tape of Mr. Walter Chung. Tape 1, side B, duplicating of a 90-minute to a 60-minute tape.
What are some of the other ones that survived and still in business today?
Well, Chui Fa Lao was on the corner of Marshall Street and Alameda. They're still surviving. You know, they're on New Chinatown there, although not the same owner. The old man died, you know. Lo Guan.
Oh, Chui Fa Lao.
Yeah, Chui Fa Lao, yeah.
Oh, I
they
see.
They were down there. They were one of the big ones, too. You know, Man Chen Lao and Chui Fa Lao was the biggest. And then they had, across the street was Grannies. That's right. Gone now. One of the fellows had a place down Chinatown, but he died, a Lim fellow, you know. Lum.
Oh.
Yeah, he passed away, so they were the three biggest ones down there.
What about when the Chinese during the war, say, you know, when they were fighting the Japanese in the 30s and so forth, what did the Chinese here feel at that time, before the outbreak of World War II? You know, Japan was invading China at that time, and you talk about the war bond drive and so forth. What other activities did they have? Did they support the war besides buying bonds? Did anybody ever go to China to enlist in the army or anything?
Yes, there were a few that went back there. I had a friend that went back there, but he came back. He said that he was with the Air Force, but he said that that there were too much politics being played in that. You know, you have to take money, and you also have to give money to the guy up the next step higher than you. So he says that you can't refuse any money if they gave it to you, because you'd have to pay the guy on top. He said he couldn't stand anything like that, and he came back. I guess there were a lot of politics being played in back over there. And so a lot of the people were very, should I say, disappointed that at that time that Chiang Kai-shek didn't move against the Japanese as much, and did all the work, did all the fighting with the communists.
Mm-hmm.
That was the consensus I got from, you know, the people talking in Chinatown at that time.
What about Chinese New Year's and Moon Festival in the 20s and 30s? Did they celebrate those?
Oh, very much so. It was quite a thing. In fact, every store used to have money, you know, tied up in front of their door, and the line dance would come over, and they'd fire crackers. And I remember one time there, the Chicano kid came over and stole some of that money, you know, jumped up there and stole some of the money, and there was a big fight there. But it was quite a big deal, and they had these parades, and they have the dance that chose the queen and things like that. It was quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. And they, where did they march? I mean, where does the parade go? Just in that little alleyway?
They was on down on Los Angeles Street where CACA used to be. They'd start from there, come down on Ferguson Alley, down on Alameda Street, and hit Apple Plaza and then come on the march to South Street and then go down Napier, because every one of the stores would hang up some money for them. So.
Oh. Chinatown moved in 1939. I guess the Union Station started building up and the Chinese moved. When did they first heard that there was going to be movement like that?
Well, it was
how far back?
Quite a few. They had, I think they heard about it something like over 10 years, but they never did anything. And every year they would say, well, they're gonna tear it down and tear it down, but they did. So, but in the meantime, some of the Chinese moved to China City, you know.
Yeah.
That was on
Spring Street.
Spring Street. They started to move there. And then some would move down on where New Chinatown used to be.
Why is there that split? Why don't they just... I guess the thing I don't understand, here in Los Angeles, you have the old Chinatown. Then you had a Chinatown on Spring Street. And then you have the new Chinatown. Why is there three Chinatowns in a little town like this?
Well, that's the whole thing. See, a lot of the people figure they'd move to Spring Street. Well, it wasn't that easy because they encountered a lot of difficulty in renting stores or buying stores. I mean, buying the lot. Some of the lots were, at that time, they thought it was too high. Rated too high. So some of them moved over to New Chinatown. And then someone started building that Chinatown, New Chinatown, and next across on Chongqing Road down there. And people were putting money, down payment on there, and their contractor promised to finish at a certain amount, and the contractor filed bankruptcy. And that stopped for a while. So that stopped the Chinese from, moving over there en masse, because they heard about this thing that didn't turn out right, and the guy lost money. So some bought property in Spring Street, you know. So that's why now the Chinatown is separate, although now they're growing so much that they're going to meet each other pretty soon.
What about 9th Street, the Chinatown in 9th Street, the old Chinatown?
You know, Chinatown and 9th Street, used to be a lot of Chinese in 9th Street around there that opened those markets, because 7th Street is right close by San Pedro, and 9th Street Market is right on San Pedro, and you got an 8th Street Market, which is pretty close. So a lot of these people that live and bought homes in around 9th Street used to be produce owners that had a produce stall or a store in the produce market, and they had money, you know. And but then the city started to inspect some of those homes and said that they would have to vacate. When they said that, and the Chinese heard about it, then the Chinese started to buy homes in Crenshaw area, which is the much nicer home, you know. And that's why 9th Street, Chinatown, disappeared. It didn't have the business like it used to, because most of the Chinese that lived close by that walked over to Ling Cheng Long, Ying Cheng Long, and those stores to buy their grocery has now moved way out. And they shop in different areas, maybe Chinatown or other places. Mm-hmm. So, all those homes were torn down, and for years nothing was built on it. Now, recently, they started to build a lot of new commercial buildings over there.
Do you remember any of the, I don't know, there's so many Chinese here in Chinatown and so forth. Do you remember any particular character that you would always remember?
Yes, I think in Los Angeles there, when I was young, they had three Chinese characters that was well known to all the residents in Chinatown. Two of them were a male and one female. They're all about in their 50s or 60s at that time. One was I think his name was Chiu Kai. He had lost all his money in gambling. And I think he fell for a sing-song girl and gave her the rest of his money, so he was penniless. And he used to walk around with his overcoat full of blank checks that he got from these banks. And he would get a piece of broken brick and write figures on the sidewalk, a couple million dollars or a couple of $100,000, and he would talk to himself and say that's kind of money that he has, that he would give to anybody that show him a friendship. And then there was another one, a little small man called, they used to nickname him Angao Wayne. And he would sleep in hallways, any place. And he never seemed to be able to, you know, keep himself clean. And he would walk around Chinatown gathering all kind of stuff that people throw away. Well, it was a very sad day for the Chinese people when it came out in the Examiner that he was loitering around the fire station in Aliso Street. And the firemen saw him and saw how he was so dirty that they gave him a bath and called the newspaper to take a picture of him. That was really a sad day for the Chinese. And then there was the other last character, was a woman that they nicknamed her Ho Sing Gu. And she would like to, when anybody look at her, she would prim herself up and kind of walk, stand up straight, and then she would kind of run a few steps. And she did the same thing crossing Alameda Street, which is a pretty busy thoroughfare. And she'd, right in front of an oncoming car, she would stand there and don't even move. They'd have to screech to a halt. Then she would smile and she'd kind of run, you know, in a funny way across the street. So those are the three characters that when we were kids, we'd always remember.
Were there many drunkards in Chinatown? Do the Chinese get drunk like anybody else?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. The Chinese drink, I see them drink, but I never have seen any drunkards as such. They, I guess they usually partake of their alcohol at a dinner table, like most of the Chinese do, or at a banquet. And I never have yet seen any Chinese drunkards.
Okay. What about in the 30s and the Depression? Was there any bread lines in Chinatown that you knew of?
No, they weren't any bread lines. It got to the point where it affected the Chinese also, but then where a regular family that used to get by pretty good would go to maybe to their cousin's restaurant and get some somei, they call it. That's what the customer would leave on the plate, you know. That they didn't partake of. There were a lot of those going on, and relatives were helping relatives to survive.
So you didn't have the bread lines
in
China. What about the Chinese going on relief? Was there any, you ever hear Chinese going on relief in the 30s?
Yes, there were some Chinese going on relief. Only the ones that are so-called modern enough and that know the law that they can get relief. The older Chinese did not apply for relief because they don't know how to do it. I think that's the only reason.
What about in the 20s and 30s, immigration roundups. Did they have many of those where the immigration office comes down to Chinatown and stops somebody and say, show me your papers, or would deport you?
Well, I think before that, in the 20s, in the early 20s, there used to be quite a few of them. In the 30s, not too much, it lessened. But they used to come down and did the same thing. They asked the guy to show the papers and all that. But even then, in the 30s, crossing the border to Mexico, or coming back where they have these immigration patrol stop, they would stop all Orientals, and they would ask them questions where they would let the others go by, you know, without any question. I've been through, personally, through quite a few of those because I used to sell down Mexicali. I used to go down in Pearl Valley, and coming back they would question me, you know, and they'd ask you your name and just to see if you know how to speak English or not, and then a typical question would be like this, although I had an American friend in the car, he didn't question him, but he questioned me, where were you born? I said, Los Angeles. Where do you live? I said, 2032 Redcliffe Street. And he said, oh, that's right close by First and Main, isn't it? I said, oh, no, you got the city all mixed up. Okay, go. You know, he tried to catch you, see, with that kind of a deal that I can't, you mentioned where you live, and he always say it's near First and Main or something like that, where it's not true. Now, if you didn't know the city, you would say, you know, agree with him. Then he'd ask you further or detain you. But I didn't think that was right. And I told one of those guys, and you know, I said, you know, this is not right. My friend over here, you didn't even ask him anything.
Well, there are many Chinese smuggled over the border from Mexico at that time.
Oh, yes. There were quite a few because we used to go hunting in a Chinese ranch, and they had a couple of mean dogs over there. I found out why they had them, because anybody that comes in there, would the dogs would bark loudly, see. Now, I found that there's three or four of those Chinese that got all the way from Mexicali over to here, illegally. See, and they were, of course, relative of the fellow that owned the ranch, and he needed someone to work the ranch, you know, and help over there at, of course, low pay, I guess. So they were over there working on the ranch and came over illegally.
You ever hear of Chinese cowboys, say, even before 1920? You ever hear anybody tell stories about Chinese working on cowboys and
no.
Running up cattle or anything?
No, I never have. You know, I was interested in that. When I heard that there were a few black cowboys, you know, it could be some Chinese cowboys, but so far I haven't heard of any instances, you know, where they were really true.
What about in the 20s? Were there any Chinese fishermen?
Yes, I think there were a few. I think one was not exactly a fisherman. He was selling abalones and things like that. He would go to the rocks and pry them out of the rocks and sell it. And the other one was down San Pedro or somewhere around there. And he had a little boat. He goes out and fish, and he brings the fish down to Chinatown and sell it. Mm. Maybe two or three of those. And later on, they seem like, to be a little bit more, because just previous to the start of the Japanese War in 41, I think approximately about 35 or 39, there were quite a few Japanese fishermen in Terminal Island, and there were a few Chinese that either worked for them or on their own.
Mm-hmm. Did Chinese buy automobiles like most Americans do as soon as they get some money? I know when I was a kid, you know, if the guy is working, the first thing he wants is an automobile. What was the Chinese thinking at that time? Did they also...
Well, at that time, I think the Chinese were very conservative, and they were completely different from, say, the modern Chinese. I can understand what the modern Chinese said. Well, geez, I like that look of that new car, 1980 model, and I'm going to buy that, you know, regardless. But at that time, I think very few Chinese bought new cars as such. And I know a lot of them that could afford it. There were one right across Chonggei bought a brand new truck, 1930. And I thought that was marvelous, you know. They kept it in the garage. Then there was another Chinese, I think it was Bill Chan's, William Chan's.
This is the end of tape one, side B, of Walter Chung's oral interview. Duplicating from a 90-minute to a 60-minute tape.